Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sade Speaks here on the PWE Empowerment Radio. Today we have an exciting and empowering guest that you do not want to miss. Stay tuned.
And everything in between. Today we're going to be talking about following your entrepreneurial dreams. Listen to these names. Joseph from the Bible, President Barack Obama, Oprah Winfrey, Tyler Perry, Thomas Edison, Madam C.J. Walker, Sojourner Truth, and Henry Ford. What do all these names have in common? They're all dreamers. They never gave up on pursuing their dreams. They all understood the importance of determination and faith. Did you know that almost two-thirds of all innovations are due to entrepreneurs? The innovation from dreamers creates wealth for them and the nation. Today, we have with us a dreamer, Melanie Nix. Now, we're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be right back. Hello, family. This is your host, Sade Dennis of Extraordinary Life Radio, literally meaning that we can live an extra and non-ordinary life full of excitement, zeal, and most of all, fulfillment. We have with us Mrs. Melanie Nix. She's highly regarded as a passionate and charismatic speaker, blending wit, sensitivity, and candor into her messages. She's a spiritually guided woman who is particularly focused on sharing lessons for reinforcing inner strength and building confidence. Melanie recently participated in an intimate roundtable discussion on breast cancer with Second Lady Dr. Jill Biden, Secretary of Health and Human Services Kathleen Sebelius, actress and breast cancer advocate Jennifer Aniston, and other breast cancer survivors and medical professionals. Melanie has been profiled on NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams, WUSA 9, and Honey Magazine. Through the lessons she learned from her late mother, Belva B. Brissett, her most inspirational breast cancer role model, she is dedicated to providing hope, inspiration, and uplift to breast cancer patients and survivors. She's the founder and owner of Human Expressions, a social stationery and design firm. She's also a managing partner in Brothers Doing Something apparel and lifestyle brand. She resides in University Park, Maryland, with her beloved husband, Raymond, their 7-year-old son, Carter, and 4-year-old daughter, Kennedy. Melanie, it's so good to have you here with us. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Sade. Thank you, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. I appreciate it. I just wanted to thank you for having me on the show. I think you are an amazing woman, and I've always admired your passion and your drive, so I appreciate you allowing me to spend some time with you today.
Oh, thanks, Melanie. I really appreciate that. Well, let's get started here. Let me ask you this. What in the world does it mean to you to follow your entrepreneurial dreams?
For me, I think it means freedom. And I think the biggest freedom it presents for me is a freedom from regret, a freedom from would've, could've, should've. And I think the biggest thing for me as a mother is that it presents an opportunity for me to be a role model to my son and my daughter, to help them understand what it means to pursue your passion, to fulfill your dreams, and to really live a full and happy life doing what brings you joy.
Wow, that is so true. I mean, I always think about the opportunity for legacy when it comes to being an entrepreneur for family, and especially African-Americans, you know, it's an awesome way to leave a legacy for our kids. So now, when did you know you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
You know, I think it happened at different, you know, I got little kind of nudges at different places throughout my life. When I was 16, I was at a conference with my mother, and I asked her to buy me Donald Trump's book, The Art of the Deal, because I just had that excitement about business. Mm-hmm. And then I think I went through college and business school and kind of was on that traditional track of, you know, going into corporate and kind of moving up the corporate ladder. But I had entrepreneurs all around me. My husband had started a successful apparel brand while he was in college. I have a very close friend who's like a cousin, and she had built a very successful event management and planning firm. And then I just got really interested in business. So I would say in my late 20s and 30s was when I really got serious about pursuing my dreams.
Wow. That's awesome. I mean, I think that many of us as entrepreneurs, when we think about it, we can remember it starting, you know, early in life. I mean, mm-hmm. from little, you know, mm-hmm. lemonade stands and so forth. I remember I used to sell Oreo cookies because at our school they didn't have Oreos, nor did they have hot mm-hmm. fries. So I found it was an opportunity for me to, you know, get into the market and provide products for the students, for my classmates that, you know, that wasn't there. So I definitely understand that. Now, as I read a little bit in the intro, just about your journey for wellness and so forth, how and what started you on your quest with health and wellness?
I think I fell into this kind of by my genes. I am a fifth-generation breast cancer survivor, so I think it's always been around me and a part of my life. My mother was a three-time breast cancer survivor until she succumbed to the disease in 1990. And I just remember as a young child going with her to volunteer activities with the American Cancer Society. She was a Reach for Recovery volunteer, going to churches, going to deliver food, going to speak to folks, trying to look at legislation and see if there were things that she could do to help change legislation. And shortly before my mother passed, she and my aunt had put together a blueprint for what they wanted to do to really help especially African-American women, given the disparities, the racial and socioeconomic disparities that exist with access to health care. They really wanted to speak to that particular underserved segment, and they put together a blueprint. And when my mother passed, my aunt kind of received that baton from my mother and just took off with it and continued and built a breast cancer resource committee into a great organization for African American women who were battling and surviving breast cancer. And I was just kind of on her coattails with her and my sister, you know, stuffing envelopes, helping them prepare for seminars, and doing whatever we could to reach the African American community through Breast Cancer Resource Committee.
Wow. I mean, and if you could as well, Melanie, describe more of your journey. I know that you mentioned that you are a breast cancer survivor. Could you share with us a little bit more about that?
Sure. I was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer in November of 2008. I was 38 years old at the time. My daughter was 19 months. My son was 4 years old. And I think I had been planning to have some of the preventive surgeries, but as life has it, you know, we can't always plan how things will happen. So on my way to have those preventive surgeries, I was actually diagnosed with breast cancer. So I went through a bilateral mastectomy, an oophorectomy, and reconstruction, and almost 5 months of chemotherapy, and really wanted to reaffirm my commitment to advocacy, not just for me, but especially for my children and especially for my daughter, because I don't want to leave a legacy of a world where she has to look over her shoulders wondering and worrying about health issues and especially about breast cancer. Because I carry the BRCA1 gene mutation, we have a higher risk of breast cancer, those of us in my family who have the gene. So we have a higher risk. So I really want to leave a legacy, especially to my son and my daughter and my niece and my nephew, so that they won't have to live with this threat hanging over them.
Wow, Melanie. That, I mean, it's so inspirational. And it's so interesting because, you know, as I spend time with you and so forth, I mean, you are just such a trooper. And, I mean, no one would even know that, one, you even went through something like that because you always have just a smile on your face. I mean, you always have something encouraging to share with other people.
Thank you.
You know, it's, and it's just awesome. I mean, so it's just like, wow, you're really an inspiration. I mean, to me personally.
I always say the really great parts of me I get from my mother, the late Velva Brissette. So all that good stuff that you're saying about me, it comes from her.
Wow. Wow. Now, you mentioned your children. How do you balance following your dreams with your family, you know, and raising the kids and even being married?
You know, there is, I don't think there's a formula that works all the time. I think you have to change it up depending on the day, depending on, you know, where your kids are in their lives. But I think the biggest thing is having the support. I've got the unconditional support of my husband, Raymond, so that is definitely instrumental because there will be times like today or, you know, other times when I'm preparing for something and I really want to be focused, and he'll say, you know what, I'm all hands on deck. I've got the kids. I'll feed them. I'm taking them out. I'm taking them to school. I'm picking them up from school, doing whatever needs to happen to help me focus on the particular task at hand. My sister is great. She'll come over or take the kids and say, you know, let the kids hang out with their cousins who they're very close to, let them run around so that you can focus on what you need to do. And then there's times where I just have to cut it off and say, I'm going to put down the iPhone, I'm going to get off the laptop, and now it's just family time. It's just me being a mother time, or it's just me being a wife time and giving my unconditional, undivided attention to my husband or to my kids. So it just depends on where I am, but I think the biggest thing is having a supportive, you know, family that really helps.
Wow, wow. And you mentioned, actually I mentioned in sharing with the listeners some of the things you've been doing, apart from spending time with your awesome family, and I've met them, and first of all, I just adore your family, your husband, and your children. You know, when I've been over, they're so cute, and I just love how much of a motivator your husband is. I mean, he gets me hyped up, so I love that. We mentioned that you were called to a roundtable with Dr. Joe Biden. Please tell us more about that.
I actually got the call a few weeks ago. I actually was laying down resting on a Sunday, and they called and said that the second lady was having a roundtable. Could I participate? And, you know, when you get those calls, you're always wondering, is this, you know, my girlfriend's playing on the phone or what have you? But when I looked at the email address that the information was coming from, because they called me and they emailed me as well, I said, well, this looks pretty legit. And when I called them back and they needed, you know, my information for me to pass security clearance, I knew it seemed to be legit. But I was humbled and I was honored because I think it gave me the opportunity to share my thoughts about breast cancer treatment, access to breast cancer treatment for underserved populations. It gave me the opportunity to share that with the second lady and with the Secretary of Health and Human Services. So that was a wonderful opportunity, especially for me to be with them, but most importantly, for me to be able to share my thoughts and make sure that the message resonates. And it did. They were well aware, of course, and very much in tune with the fact that, you know, African-American women have a higher mortality rate from breast cancer. They don't tend to get treatment as early as other segments of the population. So they're definitely tasked with making sure that this gap is closed. So I think that was important to be a part of that dialogue, and I hope to continue to be a part of that dialogue going forward.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. I think about from dreaming to getting a phone call from the White House. I mean, it's just, I mean, that's extraordinary.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think when you said dreaming to getting the call, I think one of the important things about that is being prepared. I think always being prepared, and that means being prepared for, you know, what you want to say when you have that opportunity. Because, you know, you always kind of think, oh, if I had an opportunity to speak to the president or to speak to his cabinet, this is what I would say. But when it becomes real, you need to be prepared because you only have a small window of time to get your message across.
Wow. Can you share with some of our listeners just some, maybe some tips or some ideas in terms of how they can follow their dreams and so forth?
You know, I think the biggest thing is make sure that you have the right support system.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me that is definitely my husband, my immediate family, my sister, my aunt, my in-laws, and my closest friends, Christina, Gina, Montina, Regan, Wendy. I think that's part of it, is making sure that you have that right support system. I have a girlfriend, Liz. She and I, we'll get together, we'll bounce ideas off of each other, we'll kind of critique and say, well, maybe you need to retweak or retool and follow another path. So I think it's very good to have that support system that supports you, but they will also be honest with you and tell you, you know, when you're on the right path or things that you might need to do to kind of redirect your course. I think the other thing is to make sure that your attitude and your actions really align with your aspirations. So something that I've tried to be committed to is doing something every day that will put me one step closer to my dream, whether it's calling someone who could be a potential mentor, whether it's reading an article, whether it's watching or listening to a webinar, something that will get me one step closer to the goal that I have set for myself. And I think the other thing is just to really understand that, you know, you have to have a plan. I think sometimes we have an idea of what we want to do but don't have an idea of how we're going to do it. I think it's important to figure out what are some of the steps that I need to take to get down this path.
Wow, that's awesome. I think many times, like you said, people will have a dream and they want to do certain things, but they are not matching up their actions with their faith. You know, we know even
mm-hmm.
the Bible talks about faith without works is dead. So, you know, we can dream, quote unquote, but without putting practical application to it, it'll remain a dream. So I just
right.
really appreciate that. Now, what are some of your projects that you're getting into these days?
One of the big ones is Breast Cancer Comfort Site. A friend of mine, Elizabeth Sargent, we've been friends since second grade. We went to Georgetown Day School together. She and I are both triple-negative breast cancer survivors. We were both diagnosed in our 30s and survived in our 30s, and both of us had our mothers be diagnosed and die of the disease at age 49. So we have a lot of similarities with just the breast cancer in our families, and think very much alike. We have come together, put together the Breast Cancer Comfort Site, and the goal is really to provide inspiration and wisdom to help women and men who are moving through treatment. Going through treatment was probably one of the hardest things that I've ever had to deal with. So one of the things that we came up with, I always had a list that I was going to treat myself to one thing after each chemotherapy session was complete. So whether it was buying myself a new writing instrument, buying myself a new pack of stationery, buying myself a new pair of earrings, whatever it was, I had to have some incentive. So we've incorporated that into the Breast Cancer Comfort Site. We actually have a journal, and we have some accompanying things. We have your champagne flute for, you know, making sure that you can celebrate all of your accomplishments, all of your milestones throughout survival. So, you know, we've just put together this package and this journal and this plan. It's really a roadmap to help women move through the treatment phase. So that's one of my big projects, and we're actually in the process of revising a new edition of the journal. So that's a big one. The other one is working with my company, Human Expressions, which is a social stationery company. I'm really focusing more on developing more cards for organizations that focus on health, particularly women's health. So those are some of the things that I'm focusing on. And then the last thing is Brothers Doing Something, which is my husband's brainchild, a company that he founded while he was in college, working on a line called Babies Doing Something, which is just one pieces for babies, really celebrating heritage and the great richness, especially of people of color, especially of babies of color. So really focusing on retooling that line so that we can do some really good things with that.
That's awesome. I mean, is there a website perhaps that you can share with us?
Sure. For a breast cancer comfort site, the website is www.breastcancercomfortsite.com. For Human Expressions, it is www.human-expressions.com, and expressions is plural. And for Brothers Doing Something, it's www.mybdsnation.com, and that's my, D as in boy, D as in dog, S as in Samuel, nation.com.
That's awesome. And also, listeners, what I can do is have that on my site as well. So, you know, you can travel over to my site for more information about Melanie and what she's doing. And I'm just going to share just a few things, just to piggyback off what you shared, Melanie, just some things that will keep our listeners dreaming and planning their entrepreneurial dreams. Number one is to definitely do what you love, but don't forget about the profits. You know, build your dream on something you love, or you won't work hard enough to make it work. Think about what unique value you bring to the marketplace and what resources you'll need to make it happen. Number two, upgrade your skill. As entrepreneurs, we are lifelong learners, so read and keep on looking for something to learn and make you better. It's also how you can extend your service to meet more needs. And number three, be visible, whether it's online, print, digital, or in person. Your presence is so necessary because guess what? If you are not visible, you don't exist. And number four, last but not least, is don't be afraid of success. Remember that entrepreneurs dream. They dream of a world which may not exist today or how to make this world a better place. And yet within the imagination, mind, and heart of a true entrepreneur lives a fire to evoke their God-given wisdom, vision, and picture, a reality that no one else has seen yet. So now ask yourself this question: what is my dream? What do I imagine? What is my purpose here on the face of this earth?
Wasn't that a great show? I know that you were empowered, informed, and inspired all at the same time. So for more shows like this, be sure to tune in next Thursday at 11 o'clock for more of Sade Speaks. So until next time, be fabulous, be extraordinary in all that you do, and I'll see you next week.